Let's get back to the action. The Rooten Report presents Bats and Sticks, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Bats and Sticks. I'm Dave Rooten. We're brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food served fast. We're going to try to brighten up a rainy day for you over the next hour. And as a little bit of a public service announcement, if you're stuck indoors after the show, tune in at noon to the NCAA Women's Lacrosse Championship, and you're going to get to see five FCAC, former FCAC athletes from four schools, Darien's Chloe Humphrey, Wilton's Addison Patillo, Duquesne's Kaylee Harden, and Ridgefield's Gabby Lorentani and Grace Winkler will be in action, so we wish them all good luck. We're going to be on baseball and softball today. We have a good show for you as we've reached the semifinal round of FCAC tournaments. New Canaan's Adrian Delicata, who had a key two-run homer in the Rams' 16-5 win over Staples Friday. I was there. He's going to be joining us. And a little bit later, the victim of that loss, Staples coach Jack McFarland's going to be with us to break down the semifinals. And we've got a little bit of softball, too, with Danbury's Sophie O'Connell, the sophomore sensation. She had a game-tying grand slam as the Hatters had to come from behind on Thursday to beat Fairfield Ward. And somebody who knows baseball better than anybody and knows Sophie really well, my co-host, Sean Ratchford. Sean, how you doing?
Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. You know, I didn't even ask you this. I meant to. I've never asked you this since we started this. I was thinking about it after we spoke on my ride in. But, you know, now you get to the semifinals. It's the exciting part of the season. Now that you're almost through one spring, not having coached, how much do you miss it?
Oh, it's really hard. I talk to Kevin 2-3 times a week, sometimes every day of the week. Kevin took over for me at Danbury High. I think you miss the camaraderie. I think you miss planning practice. I still find myself buying books. I bought a book the other day about some mental stuff. I actually wrote practices at the beginning of the year and said, Ratch, what are you doing? Who are you going to give these to? So, yes, I miss it a lot.
Okay, well, we've got a great semifinals, and not surprising, we've had a couple of number of low seeds, and I think I remember this happening once, but you may know, but we came so close to having the four lower seeds all advance. In the 1-8 game, Fairfield Ward was upset by Darien, and then we had New Canaan's win over Staples, and then form sort of held with Trumbull beating Norwalk, but the Eagles almost went down. They were down. That game went to extra innings. They were down 6-2 going to the bottom of the eighth. They tied the game, rallied, left the bases loaded, and then won the game on a bases-loaded walk. And then number four seed, Fairfield Ludlow, which played St. Joseph, and that game went to extra innings as well. And then Ryan Frame with the walk-off single. We almost came close to having the four lower seeds. Did that happen once? I vaguely remember that.
It did happen. And again, it's easier to coach when you have somebody to chase. And so those teams, the 1, 2, 3, 4, are hunted. You're selling your kids about expectations. Come on, there's no expectations. You have a chance to go out and impress people, make a name for yourself. You know, you might be the next Ray Knight for the Mets, who was a World Series MVP. And people are like, what? So it's a great opportunity. It's hard to be the person that all year has had their pedal on the gas and has been number one. And now all of a sudden you're being chased and there's a little bit of pressure. Whereas when you're the person that's doing the chasing, there's not as much pressure. There's excitement. You're selling. Oh my God, we're going to do this. So.
And again, we've talked a lot about how baseball is just not a single elimination sport. You could have to be the last team like Glastonbury several years ago getting into the state playoffs. And then you have one really top pitcher who can win you a start and then maybe a third start. And you get some of that kind of infuses the team with energy and you get on a roll and you're the last seed and you win a state title. So I don't know if we really can call any of these games upsets. I saw Darien in the final game of the regular season because that game started as a play-in game with Norwalk, and we found out about the fifth inning that Staples had beaten Ridgefield and that Darien got in, and Norwalk needed to win and did so to advance. But the Blue Wave just played a really sloppy game, and Mike Scott, their great coach, talked to me a little bit about it was frustrating they didn't play well, but they were happy because nobody really talked about them to get into the playoffs. And then you have Devin Montesano, who just pitched a really good game against maybe the top offense, probably the top offense in the league and one of the best in the state, and beats Fairfield Ward 4-2. So, mentioning the seeds of teams is almost irrelevant.
It absolutely is. And again, you're as good as tomorrow's pitcher. It's always been that way. Pitching and defense wins, whether it's a high school level, a college level, even on the professional level. So it is hard. It's a dash, as we said. And, you know, Jack, who's coming on, has been a proponent of maybe playing two games in the state, two-game elimination, maybe after a certain round. So maybe we can explore that a little bit with him.
Yeah, that would be great. Obviously, it's the time element. You could do it if you had fewer teams, and there's no way the CIAC is going to do that. Ideally, that's the way you give you minimize the chances for real upsets, and you give the better teams a better chance of winning. You've been in both situations as a high seed and as a lower seed. Is there a different approach you take with your players depending on which situation you're in?
You absolutely do. You absolutely try to impress upon them that someone's going to come here. You're going to see a really good pitcher. He's going to be excited. The adrenaline's either going to help or hurt him. And I always impress upon the kids, you got to try to score early. And the same as if you're the person that's hunting. You want to tell them, hey, let's try to get a run early. Let's put the pressure on them because they're the team that's supposed to walk away with the W from this game. So I personally think, yes, absolutely, you coach it a little bit differently. Your mindset's different in practice. Whether your team is buying it, sometimes it's hard to sell it because your team says, hey, coach, look, we won 19 games. What are you talking about? And with no net when you get into playoffs because everybody's 0-0, sometimes it comes back to bite you.
How do you handle when you're Brett Connor, the Ward coach, or Jack McFarland, who will be joining us, and we can ask him, but when you get knocked out in the first round, and obviously this is true for any team that gets knocked out in the first round, but especially one of the favorites, and you've got to sit around now for a week and a half waiting for the state playoffs to start, how do you deal with that?
There's a couple ways you deal with it. Number one, you have scrimmages lined up. You want to scrimmage. You want to get your players back on the field. You want to get them back out there. Jack has a ton of alumni. You bring your alumni back to talk about what it was like to be out there, and you got one more opportunity. You got one more playoff to get after. I was lucky enough to have kids. Austin Calitro, the Del Debios, all those kids come back and talk about, man, coach, I missed this. I missed this opportunity. So I'm sure he's going to do that. There's a lot of things they're going to work on to get themselves to be better.
Anything surprise you? And again, I don't think there are any real surprises, but anything from the first four games, the quarterfinals, that really surprised you, or anything that stood out to you?
Well, again, just how important all 20 games are. You look at New Canaan that played at Danbury. New Canaan sitting in the three hole looking at a home game on their beautiful new field. Danbury goes out and scores some runs at the end and wins the game. Now you drop to 7. It's a huge testament to the coaches, Coach DeVito, that they didn't give in. They came back and were ready for Trumbull. That may or may not have made them hungrier for the game they were going to play. But it's no real surprises, like you said, because it still is the FCAC, and it's really, really good baseball, and really, really good coaches, and really, really good players.
Yeah, I was at the New Canaan game, and I was actually going to go where you took me to in a couple of seconds, and a shout out to the Hatters on the last day of the regular season, where you think you have nothing to play for, and you go out and you play spoiler, and you drop New Canaan from 5 to 7, and you they're dangerous number 17. But first of all, shout out Danbury. You know, I saw on the social media on their Instagram account posting the team picture of themselves, and they get to go into the summer feeling good about themselves. But now you're Staples as the number 2 seed. And I went to that game because I thought that was the game where the lower seed had the best chance to win. And that's not a knock on Staples by any means. It's a compliment to New Canaan. And you know, New Canaan's going to play Trumbull in the semifinals. Nobody would have been surprised a week or two ago, or even in the preseason, if that was the championship game.
Yeah, and again, the beauty of the FCAC, the beauty of baseball. Every game, Dave, gives you an opportunity. Have you prepared your players? Are your players ready to execute at that moment? And that's what, you know, we always sold. And I'm sure every coach that's going to come on is going to say the same thing. Every game gives you an opportunity. The winning team usually scores more runs in one inning, both in high school, college, and in the major leagues, than the losing team scores for the game. So can I prevent that big inning? Can I stop that big inning? And can I make sure that we chip away and get our runs so that we're ready for that?
And New Canaan did that, but put up a 7 spot in the 6th inning. They scored 13 runs in the last 3 innings to overcome a 5-3 deficit after they were leading 3-0 after the first inning. And the other semifinal, the second game at Cubetta on Tuesday, you have the Darien team we've talked about going against Fairfield Ludlow, the defending FCAC champion. And we've talked all season about their great pitching staff. And you go into your semifinal game and you get to throw Elliot Kwan, who could easily be a number one anywhere. And I'm just how great is that in terms of being able to have pitching like that? I know you're going to have a great starter in every game if you get to the final.
And again, that's the beauty of a coach, because again, Elliot, arguably one of the best players in the league, up for player of the year. He could go into that game and be lights out. He could also go in and struggle a little bit. Again, adrenaline too much, throwing too hard, throwing high. And then you have a guy in the bullpen that you can bring in. Those are the nice things that you have when you have 3 or 4 pitchers that you can bring in. Because playoff baseball is different than coaching, and I want to ask Jack about this, than coaching a regular season. The regular season, there's tomorrow. In a playoff situation, there is no tomorrow if, at the end of the day, you're not the team that's got more runs than the other team. So you may take somebody out a little quicker. You have to talk to the kids that, hey, you may get pinch hit for. I may go to the bench a little early. I may go to the bullpen a little bit early. Because, again, there is no tomorrow. Now, again, there's a state tournament, but people want to win that FCAC tournament. People want to get in, win that, and then do what Jack did not too long ago, win states and win FCACs.
Before we take a break, we have a little bit different composition of how the tournament is spread out this year, and you've got a 6-day difference between the first round and the championship game. So the two teams that get to the final, if they go with their quarterfinal starters, they're going to be on normal rest. They're going to have had 5 days rest. Is that something as a coach? I mean, again, it all depends on how your pitching is. But do you like that? There have been times where it's been a much shorter turnaround between the start and the end of the tournament.
Great for the FCAC, maybe not so good for the states. Because again, you're going to turn around on a Tuesday. Someone's coming to you, or you're getting on a bus. So it's really hard. There's been years where I felt the best team won the FCAC, only to then go to the first round of the states and get beat. And I was like, what happened? Well, the game went 10 innings. The game went 9 innings. They had to use their pitching. And now they go into the state, you know, first round. Again, you got a hungry team coming in, and you don't have the bullpen. You don't have the pitchers that you can ride. So it's going to be a tough call.
Well, We've been talking about New Canaan and their great win against Staples, and we're going to take a break. And joining us on the other side, the Rams first baseman, Adrian Delicata. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on WICC.
A look at Connecticut high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse. Bats and Sticks on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut, with your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back, and our first guest today, one of my favorite people to interview, did it a lot during football season, a captain of the New Canaan football team, which won its fourth straight state championship in the fall, great offensive lineman, going to play at Franklin Marshall, but right now he's playing in his first FCAC tournament, hit the two-run homer that tied the game and jump-started New Canaan's run to a 16-5 win over Staples on Friday, and that's Adrian Delicata. He joins us now. Adrian, how you doing?
Doing good, Dave. How are you? Thanks for having me on today.
Nah, thanks for coming on. Your first FCAC playoff game, you're a veteran with football. Was the experience any different playing in your first baseball playoff when you're so used to football playoffs?
You know, obviously it's a little bit different because we're going in with, like, you know, a little bit different group of guys, a whole different dynamic on the baseball team. But I like to say that football travels well onto the baseball team. I think we have five starters who are also starters on our football team, starting in our lineup on the baseball team. So we have some guys with some playoff experience, some guys who are used to the competition that, you know, that we've done in the football season. So having guys that, you know, like to compete, love to compete, and also know how to win is also very helpful. Lightens my load a little bit on that front, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. It's fun covering you because I get to know you guys so well during football season. So it's a renewing relationships. How did the team view the first round game? You look at 2-7 and you say you're the underdog, but I was at the game because you're a team that could easily win the championship, might win the championship, and no one would be surprised. Did you guys try to pump yourselves up with an underdog mentality, or did you look at it differently?
We kind of knew coming into this game that, you know, Staples is a very good team. They swing the bat very well. They have, obviously, pitchers like Bruce who, you know, ramped the ball up into, like, the 90s, so coming to the game, you know, we obviously had to we couldn't devalue them at all. We knew that they were a good team who was very, very accomplished in their last 4 years that we've been here. So coming in, we thought about, you know, they beat us 7-0, all this, all that. But second time around, anything can happen. We also had a little bit of an advantage facing the same pitcher again. So we kind of knew exactly where we were getting. There was no surprises getting into the box. You can see that. I mean, last time we played, we were in a similar situation with the bases loaded in the first inning, but this time we capitalized on that, and it really just shifted the whole game right from the beginning. We then followed up getting another one in the second inning. So being able to kind of jump on them early and kind of tell them that, you know, we're here for the second time, we showed up today to play, I think shifted the game right from the start.
Your fifth inning home run, you score three runs in the first two innings, take the lead. And then Staples comes back and puts up four on you in the third, another in the fourth, and your 3-0 lead becomes a 5-3 deficit. And then you jump-started, ignited the team with the key at bat of the game. Where I was sitting, everybody was looking at it like it's a deep fly, it's a deep fly. And then all of a sudden you could see it was carrying and it was going out. Did you think that you got it and it was going out, or were you unsure as the ball left the bat?
Off the bat, I was a little unsure. I saw the right fielder kind of sizing up the wall a little bit. I got a little nervous there for a second, but, you know, saw it go over the fence and then immediately blacked out on running around the bases. So just kind of just that feeling for, you know, bringing the team back into it. I made an error in the third inning that, you know, allowed Staples to continue the inning and score another two runs. So I told my pitcher, you know, I'd get him back. I'd have his back. I'd do what I could to get us back into the game, knowing that I was coming up third in the inning. So I'm happy I delivered on that promise. And yeah, just it was a surreal feeling seeing that go over the fence, especially in the FCAC game with these stakes on the line.
Could you feel in the dugout after? And I mean, there was a huge celebration when after you crossed the plate. Could you kind of feel like the momentum had changed and there was a different buzz in the dugout than there had been maybe the previous inning or so?
Yeah, there's kind of been a trend to this season for us where we score, you know, in the first or second inning. We did it against Ridgefield and in the Danbury game as well. We scored three or four early and then didn't score for the rest of the game. So there's kind of been a trend for us this year where we score early and then maybe along the line we'll get one or two more runs. But we've given teams chances to come back into games and ultimately win a couple games on us by us not scoring in the late innings. So taking back the momentum in the fifth was the changing of the game there, where obviously the seventh inning we kind of exploded and batted around and did what we did in the sixth inning. So yeah, I think there was definitely a huge momentum shift in the fifth, and it was kind of like the feeling that, okay, now that we did it, it's just going to pour on from here because we haven't done it in the past.
Ratch, jump on in.
Hey, Adrian, congratulations, first of all. I wish I could coach a guy with your resume. State champs, captain of both football and baseball, All-State, and you're going to play at a school. I looked at all the schools you were recruited at. Obviously, you're very smart. You're going to play against schools like Carnegie Mellon, John Hopkins. What of all those things are you proudest of?
I would say being a captain of both teams is probably what I'm the most proud of. You know, you can win games by, you know, getting lucky. You can win playoff games by, you know, preparing more than the other team. But I feel like being a captain is really just it's a good representation of how I like to go about myself and how I like to be with the team and, you know, be the guy that you can rely on and be the leader that everyone can look up to. So I think being the captain of both the teams that I'm a part of, I'm very grateful to have been a part of the state championship football teams and hopefully an FCAC and state championship baseball team. And just being the guy that the coach can rely on to, you know, make sure the team's trending in the right direction, keep everyone calm, keep everyone prepared and ready to play these games where, you know, you're coming in as a team that might not be as well prepared or as competitive based on our track record. So being that guy who's relied on and really just one that you want to be in charge is what I'm most proud of.
You hit on it perfectly for me when you talked about, hey, I made a mistake early in the game and I came in and told my pitcher, I got your back. That to me is leadership. That to me speaks about you. The mindset of a captain for football versus the mindset of a captain for baseball, two totally different beasts. Were you a different captain in football than you were in baseball, or are you the same guy?
I would say I had to be a little bit different. These sports, especially at the high school level, they're a little different. In football, it's more kind of, you know, managing what we had. You know what I mean? We were coming into the year, three in a row state championships. I was lucky enough to, you know, be starting on the team since I was a sophomore, so I was able to really develop kind of the feel of what I needed to do as a captain to be successful in the role, whereas baseball, you know, also was fortunate enough to start since sophomore year, but I had to kind of not rewrite, but I had to kind of rethink some of the things that were going on. I asked coach to make some changes, which involved lifting with our football strength coach, Jason Miska, just to kind of get that discipline that we have in football, try and get that into some of the guys who aren't as familiar with him, which I think was a big factor to our success this year, was having that extra added discipline, having guys who, you know, are used to the work ethic in football and sort of bring that over into baseball, which is ultimately what we're trying to do here, which we hopefully will see with the continued playoff success. But just really, baseball is more of a, you have to be more of a process-oriented guy. You have to, because guys are going to get out. Guys are going to make errors. Guys are going to make mistakes, like as we see I did myself in the game. So you really got to be process-oriented. You got to believe in your approach, which is a little different than the football aspect where it's kind of hit, hit, hit. But it's a different role, and I feel like bringing that football aspect in was definitely one of the major things that I really like doing for the baseball team this year.
That's tremendous, very, very mature. What are you going to study at Franklin Marshall?
It's a liberal arts school, so I'm looking to do their business they're business type courses, and I think it's like economics-ish type thing there.
Oh, that's excellent. Now, I know you play first base, and I watched you in football. You have great feet for a big guy. What do you attribute that to?
I'd like to say Coach Mishka again here. I don't want to repeat the same answer again, but, you know, it's June of you're going into your freshman year at the high school, and Coach Mishka meets you at 6:30 three times a week, and you kind of just get a little culture shock action. He kind of takes – he makes every athlete at New Canaan what they are. And I'd like everyone wants to say, you know, they work hard on their own, but it's really Coach. He breaks you down. He builds you up. He gives you the work ethic that all the New Canaan athletes have here, and it's truly special what he does for all of us here.
That's like boot camp.
That's outstanding.
That's boot camp for the baseball players with Jason there. As we finish up here, you talked about it before, the football-baseball connection, and you got Maddox Hoffman. You've got Jake Valenti, you got Benny Hegel, and I'm missing somebody. But is there a reason in New Canaan there's such a football-baseball dynamic?
I'm not sure. Usually it's like a football-lacrosse thing here. Everyone loves lacrosse in New Canaan, but
yeah.
I think it's just this group that's been playing together. All of those guys you mentioned, we've been on the same baseball team since, you know, 7U, 8U. So I think just keeping that success together, keeping this friendship that we have together, all those guys, has been the biggest, like, just I think factor of, you know, everyone sticking with baseball, everyone sticking with football. Not as hard to stick with football as it was for baseball for some guys, but because obviously, you know, the success in our childhood years. But I think it's the fact that we grew up playing together, the sport that we love. So it was no real decision to keep it going in high school when you had the success in football in the fall.
Well, it's a testament to how many great athletes there are in New Canaan that you know, the football team can also stock the baseball and lacrosse teams. Adrian, the fact that you're a captain of both those teams, as Ratch said, speaks volumes about the kind of person you are. And I've had a lot of fun covering you over the years, and it's been fun watching you win championships in football and fun watching you chase them in baseball. So wish you the best of luck the rest of the year, and thanks for taking a little time here this morning.
Thank you, Dave. Hopefully I'm seeing you on Thursday after the game.
Okay, sounds good. That was New Canaan's, Adrian Delicato. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with Danbury's Sophie O'Connell. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on WICC.
Connecticut high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse lives here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut, with Bats and Sticks and your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to segue for a few minutes from baseball to softball. She had quite an impact as a freshman for Danbury High School, and she's following up with a sensational sophomore season. She had the big hit to help the Hatters rally against Fairfield Ward in the quarterfinals on Thursday, and she also is a member of the Ireland U18 national team. Sophie O'Connell. Sophie, how you doing?
Hi, Dave. How are you? Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for coming on. You got quite a resume for a high school sophomore.
Yes, thank you.
It's got to be a lot of fun, huh?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. It's insane. It's amazing. So grateful.
Nah, well, you've been insane, too, and we'll get to Ireland in a little bit, but let's talk about this year. You guys are the number two seeds in a real, real tough league where the top six seeds, I think, all started the tournament with realistic chances to win the title. And then you fall behind Ward 6-2 going to the bottom of the sixth, and you're looking at possibly going down in the first round. And you come up with the bases loaded. And I was texting with somebody because I was following on Game Changer, and I said I'd walk or just let the run come in and take your chances. But Ward pitched to you, and you hit a grand slam to tie the game. You had another run and come away with a 7-6 win. Take me through what's going through your mind when you're coming up to bat in that situation.
Well, first of all, I just want to like say great job to my teammates. First of all, for getting on base with no outs, Ava Tong, Analia Duran, and Avi Hull all worked their counts and either got a walk or a hit. So that was really big for us since we are trailing in the bottom of the sixth, like don't have much time left. So to be able to come up with bases loaded, no outs, I knew that like my teammates had my back, but I was just looking for solid line drive to just get one or two runs in, like cut the lead down. I just wanted a barrel, and I knew that my teammates would come up behind me and get the job done. No outs, as I said. So I just wanted to barrel, have a good at bat, competitive at bat, and do what I could for my team to help us start to fight back.
What's that feeling like as you're rounding the bases?
It was insane. It was insane. I was just really, really happy. Very happy to just like do that for my team in this huge moment, home game. It was insane. I was like, let's go. Like I was going nuts. It was insane.
what? And as everybody's already heard how humble you are, but how's it been just having success? The success that you've had at such a young age?
I feel good. I feel like it's part of my preparation. Like my coaches from the Huskies organization have all helped me like to these moments for me. And I think it's all part of my preparation and something that like isn't completely unexpected in my mind, because I know the work I've put in with my teammates, with my teams, like it's just, I feel like it's part of it for me, and I'm very happy that it's all like come to work out and that I have been very successful. And I think it's just speaks to the kind of training I've had over my whole life, honestly.
And the Empire State Huskies, Vivian Knott, Darien pitcher, part of it too. So for anybody that may not have any kind of context for just how great a player that Sophie is. Rach, I think you're familiar with Sophie, huh?
Sophie came to my camp as a shy little girl. She used to tilt her head sideways and look up with those big eyes. And now she's...
And she became a good player anyway.
Oh, she was a great player when she came to camp. And what I love is she talks about preparation. So, Sophie, I think that people need to hear about how hard you work and all the things that you do. I drive by Hatters Park. You're out there, your mom, your dad, and your brothers and sisters, and you're hitting balls and you're doing stuff. Can you talk about your routines and how hard you work?
Yeah, so I'm basically practicing 6 days a week, sometimes seven. I love softball so much. And for me, like practice isn't any like burden. Like I am always asking to go to the field, like just get some balls, do some tee work. I'll work at home if we can't go to the field, but you know, my dad always finds a way to get us to the field if I ask. So Monday I do batting lessons at All-Star, shout out All-Star in Brookfield, Kevin Gilroy, and the GOAT. And then on Tuesday through Saturday, I find something to do, either go to the field, do stuff at home, do my recruiting, anything. It's my favorite. Softball's my favorite thing to do. So I find a way. I just work all the time, basically.
And for those that don't know, Kevin Gilroy was a junior college All-American at UConn Ivory Point and a tremendous fielder. So she's working with one of the best. Sophie, you have the privilege of playing for your home team. You play for Danbury High School. You get to play with the girls you grew up with. You also then have the challenge of playing with the girls from Ireland, as well as playing on a team that's plays all over the country. How is the camaraderie different between the three teams?
I think, especially for Danbury, Danbury High School, this team this year has really, really good chemistry. And I think last year too, it really just came with like, as soon as we came back together, like I haven't played with these girls since I was 12 and I'm coming back and we have like chemistry, like insane chemistry. And I think it's just, a connection that's really, really strong. And the chemistry this year is honestly on another level. And I love it. It was amazing. It's amazing being able to play with the girls I've been with since I was little. And it's just amazing. And my Ireland team, same. It's insane. Like, we're coming from like the same country. Like, we all have the same kind of descent. And it's really like family in Ireland. It's really like family. And then Huskies, same exact thing. Like, the coaches, the people, it's an amazing organization. And honestly, it's like, chemistry of these three teams that I have the privilege to play on is unmatched. And I'm so grateful that I get to play with all of these girls and have so many different connections across all these different teams. It's amazing.
That's excellent. Now, you have an assistant coach at Danbury that coached college softball for a long time. How much has Coach Pardalis helped you, and has he helped you more with the physical part of the game or more with the mental part of the game?
Oh, my gosh, Coach Tom Pardalis is so close to my heart. He's one of my favorite coaches I've ever had. Like, I can't even explain it. I love him so much. But he has helped me in every part of my game, physical, mental, literally everything. We talk about my approaches to at-bats every day, talk about if he sees something in my swing or in the field, we'll work on it, just me and him. Like, he'll come early to practice for me, and he'll give me side toss, front toss, whatever I want. Like, he's actually the best, and I love him so much. And I honestly don't know what I'd do without Coach Tom. He's amazing.
I didn't know Tommy was back working with you guys, with the team.
Oh, he is.
Tom, I said hello. I haven't talked to him in a long time.
Yes, I will.
What about his
last question?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Last question from me. You seem to have picked up a nice pitcher to add to the team.
Yeah.
How has she helped you, and what is she going to be able to do in the future for you?
I think she is a great asset for our team, and I'm so happy that she's back after her injury. I'm so happy because she is a big – she pitches for Unity, which I play against Huskies. When I'm on Huskies, you play in the summer, so I'll probably play in the summer. She's a great pitcher, a lot of control, and I think she's going to be a really big part – and just having another arm on our team, another reliable arm that we can go to if needed. We have a staff. We have Abby Odell, Jackie Marks, and then Ava Tong. And that's a really big part in winning a championship, I feel. Like, having that true staff that any of them can get the job done. So I'm really excited for that. Really excited.
As we finish up with you here, Soph, what about the semifinals with Trumbull and you're hoping you get to play in the championship. What's the keys going to be?
I just think play our hardest, leave it all on the field. I personally think, like, we can do it. I think any of these four teams in the semifinals can win FCX, honestly. And I just think us going, putting it all out on the field and letting our chemistry as a team just go, I think we can win. I have a great feeling about this year and this team. Think we can really do it.
Nobody would be surprised if any of the four win it, and you're certainly well in the mix. So, Sophie, we could talk to you for another 20 minutes. I'm sorry we're limited. I wanted to talk more about the Ireland team. We'll have you back, but hey, congratulations. Okay. You deserve with your talent and your hard work, everything you've gotten so far.
Thank you so much. Wish
you and the team the best of luck the rest of the way, and thanks for taking time here.
Thank you so much, Dave. Thank you for having me.
Okay, that was Sophie O'Connell. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk baseball again with Staples coach Jack McFarland. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on WICC.
Expert analysis on all things high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse. You're listening to Bats and Sticks with Dave Rudin, live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and a quick apology to New Canaan's Grant Hickey. That was the fifth football player that I forgot, and he had a three-run homer in the game against Staples. So, Grant, sorry, you just slipped my mind for a second there. Adrian just texted me, so I hope you're still listening. And somebody who wished that you didn't hit a three-run homer, he's joining us right now to break down the semifinals, and that's Staples coach Jack McFarland. Jack, sorry we're going to sort of change what you talked about, but thanks for taking some time here.
No problem. Thanks, Dave. How you doing, Coach Ratchford? How's it going?
Very well. Very well. I'm glad you're back.
Okay. How hard is that when it's just the pitching that's been there for you, just had a tough day, and you rally from a 3-0 deficit, and then just kind of the wheels come off? How frustrating is that after the regular season, and how do you handle things now in terms of having such a long layoff?
Well, I think you guys touched on it. You know, you play that regular season to get in both tournaments, the FCAC and the state. Obviously, the state tournament's the big prize. So we immediately go to looking at the bracket, setting up practice for next week, setting up for scrimmages. We're scrimmaging St. Joe's on Wednesday because obviously they're a Class M team, so we won't see them. We have a great relationship with Jimmy over there. So, you know, we'll have a full week ahead, and, you know, we're going to, you know, treat it like fundamentals, boot camp baseball, and we'll be ready for Monday, Tuesday. Another thing that Sean brought up is, you know, the states are Monday. You're playing Thursday. It's very tight this year. Usually with Memorial Day, the states start on Tuesday. So you have a little, you know, the FCAC ends on Thursday, and you have like 4 days, or Wednesday, you have 5 days. So it's going to be tight for some of these teams.
I've talked about this a lot in all sports, just and you know what it's like winning a championship. How hard is it to go from winning a championship to getting your guy, you know, whichever of the four teams remaining gets the chance to win the title? How hard is that going from that sky high to getting your guys level again to start states? Because there are so many FCAC champions that have been eliminated in the first round just because it's hard to come down.
Yeah, it is hard to come down, and it depends really on the timing, like Sean talked about before. We actually won an FCAC championship on a Sunday and lost in the first round on a Monday in the States. There was no days in between because there were like three rainouts. So, you know, this is all – we're talking about everything being on schedule and happening Thursday. If somehow the finals get pushed to the weekend, the CIAC doesn't care about the FCAC tournament. You're playing Monday this year at 3:30, and it, you know, it is what it is. So you have to kind of, you know, adjust and, you know, cobble things together here.
Sean, we're tight on time. I want to break down the two games, but anything you want to ask Jack?
Yeah, number one, Jack, you've created a great standard there. You're a winning program. How did it go when you had to change your mindset from getting the kids to believe we can do what we do to now being one of the best teams every year and always being hunted? I mean, when we go to play Staples, the kids are excited. They know they're going to play a good team. That's a testament to you, Brian, and your coaches. Is that hard to deal with?
Yeah, it is, but we always tell the kids the expectations are going to be high every year. Otherwise, you know, I don't think I would be coaching or my assistants would show up if they wouldn't put the effort and if their expectations weren't as high as we are. You know, and it takes a lot of work. You have to build the facilities. You have to get down and you have to get these athletes, you know, not only are you competing with other sports, but you have to get them to stay in your school. You know, Westport kids, they have, they have a lot of opportunity to go to Brunswick or Avon. You know, I talk about, you know, getting Hero Wyatt back to Staples. He was at, you know, the King School of Kai Nee. Our pitcher was up at Choate, and we got him back. It's like they can get everything they need from just from being at Staples, and that's really what we wanted to create, where we're not losing kids or they need to go somewhere better. Because, you know, Chad Knight, Ben Kaspers, those kids could have played anywhere. IMG, they could have played it, you know, they could have played on Mars, but they stayed in their hometown. Gatorade Players of the Year, All-State, they got everything they wanted out of CIAC baseball. And we've had kids, you know, we had the kid from East Catholic drafted in the first round, Hero drafted in the third round. So you don't need to go to other schools, and that's what we really try to preach.
We got like
a testament to you. I'm sorry.
Sorry there. I'm just trying to. We got like about a half minute on each game, Jack. New Canaan against Trumbull, the first semifinal on Tuesday.
Very interesting game. New Canaan's got a first year coach with a senior laden team. Trumbull just has, you know, year in and year out, tons of depth, big program, an old hand, a very solid coach there. The guy that interests me there is Valentino. He's a two-way kid. He's dynamic. He's best in show as far as I'm concerned. He could take over Stanford both nights. He's a big-time player. And for Trumbull, you got to keep Leonzi off the bases. He flies. you know, New Canaan, you know, very solid team. I like Shulman. McAllister's a two-way kid. It's going to be very interesting.
And then quickly, we got Darien and Ludlow in the nightcap.
Ludlow, Darien's got a very small margin for error. They have to kind of win a 3-1, 2-1 game. Ludlow's got three arms ready for the last two games here. They're starting to hit the ball. Ryan Frame and Kwan are really hitting the ball. Garyak's a real good pitcher, you know, first baseman. And Stanton's a stud on the mound. So, you know, Ludlow is and the defending champs. So that's going to be a big ask for Darien. But, hey, if Darien play like they did the other day, it's going to be a tight one.
Sorry we had to rush this through. Everything ran a little late as it does today. But, Jack, thanks a lot. Sorry about Friday, but wish you and the Wreckers best of luck in the state playoffs.
Yeah, David, the key, you can't look back, man. Kids are looking forward, and that's the key. That's the key to life as far as we're concerned.
All right. Well, listen, thanks a lot. Good
you
luck
got
in
it.
States.
Thanks for having me. Okay. Have a great weekend, guys.
Thanks.
Good luck in States.
Okay, and sorry to have to rush that through, Sean. Sorry I had to cut you off there, but that's this week's edition of Bats and Sticks, brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food served fast. Thanks to all the guests. Thanks to Sean Ratchford for his great analysis, as always. Turn on the championship game of the NCAA Women's Final and North Carolina with the FCAC Connections. We'll be back next Sunday. Have a good week, everybody.